Good to be here. Hallelujah. I could be in the drunk tank. I could be at IC. I could be in hell. But here I am tonight in the house of God. Only by the grace of God that I'm here. And I give God all the glory. He came to me. I didn't come to Him. He found me. I didn't find Him. Would you turn the book of Revelation with me tonight, please? Chapter 1. Get that in one hand. Isaiah 9. Verse 6 in the other. And then John chapter 14, the other hand. Isaiah 9, 6 in one hand. I'm going to read Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now watch this carefully. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now go to Revelation 1 and verse number 8. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. What's it say? You know something, folks? I've been saved now since 1973. And I'm not here this morning to cast aspersions on anybody. But it was years after I was saved and out of the system that I came up through before I began to really understand the greatness and depthness of Jesus Christ, of who He really is. I knew He was the Savior, the Son of God, and He was my Savior, my Lord. Knew all that. But I had been taught erroneous doctrine. Look at John chapter number 14 and verse number 1. I want you to notice carefully what it says here. John 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, now note carefully, I will come again. Now, if you'll go to Revelation chapter number 1 and look at it carefully with me. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now, when you think about the coming of the Lord, most people put it as an event. Well, it is an event, but it's not one event. The coming of the Lord is a series of events. And the fact of the matter is, in John chapter number 14, when he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, they had no concept at that time of the catching away of the bride of Christ. That was a mystery to these people. They didn't know anything about it. But in John chapter number 15 and 16, he said, I will send the Comforter unto you. Now here's the problem, people. They try to understand, well, who is the Comforter? And they say, is he God? Well, let me say this to you. Every time that someone is born again and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have received a coming of the Lord. Because the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of Christ, has come into them. And He has come to them as He promised He would come. Now, I'm not a liberal in here tonight trying to teach you that the second coming is a spiritual thing. Not at all. The second advent is a physical appearing of the Lord. And that's a profound thing. But every time someone receives the Son of God as their Savior, they are receiving the Spirit of Christ. That's important because not much emphasis is placed upon that. And it's the idea that the Holy Spirit is different than the Spirit of Christ. And there is no way tonight that you can separate the Holy Spirit from the Spirit of Christ. You can't do it. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. The Holy Spirit, as He manifests Himself in the Godhead, manifests Himself in the way that Almighty God chooses to manifest Himself through the Holy Spirit. And right now in this age of grace, He's not manifesting Himself as the angel of the Lord. He did in the Old Testament. But since God has incarnated Himself in flesh, and He has, and that is a once and for all event that will never be undone, He will always be the God-man. Therefore, you receive the Holy Spirit. You're receiving the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, He has come to you. Now, He will come again. He will come again physically. And the book of Revelation deals with this coming. It's the last book in the Bible. It completed the canon of Scripture. And the book of Revelation was written a good 60 years after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. In plainer words, more than a lifetime in those days for most of the people. More than a lifetime. And when the canon of Scripture was completed, it gave a revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is right now and where He is. And that's a big deal. Because it talks about Him being in heaven, glorified before the throne of God. But if you'll notice in the book of Revelation, the one that sits upon the throne is never defined. In plainer words, His essence is not manifested and revealed. It simply says, the one that sat upon the throne was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone. Well, that's a manifestation. Are you following me? God's not a jasper stone. That's how He appeared to them. This progressive revelation of God to His creatures is still in progression. And He will manifest Himself one day, and we will see Him as He is. The more I study this, the more I begin to believe that there probably isn't a creature in the universe that's ever really seen the essence of God. Not even Michael, not even Gabriel, and certainly not Satan. Because he would have never said that I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. If he had ever laid his eyes on that eternal being, he would have stopped short of ever saying that. Because there is no way that a creature can ever attain to that. The occult world teaches that God became man so that man can become God. Now let that settle in. Let that blasphemy settle in. And they've got a lot of takes on it and a lot of spin to it. But God became man that man might become God. This world is run by a hierarchy of occult power and intelligence. By an elite hierarchy of occultism that is seated high above the average man. Well, the world that you live in is the world of the average man's consumption. You're spoon-fed what you hear and what you see and what you know. These people live in a world that is far above yours, where they communicate with each other in coded words. And they understand, because they are initiates into an occult world that is principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. They receive their inspiration and energy directly from that world. What do you combat that with? How are you tonight, as a Christian, a born-again believer, how are you supposed to deal with these occult powers? This manifestation that you're seeing today, I don't know if you're... Here's the problem. This controlled media in this country spoon feeds the American people what they want them to have, but only part of it. Amen. Now, let me give you a case in point. How many of you understand what happened to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya? How many of you have ever seen photographs and videos of what really happened to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya? All you've seen is what was released by the American news media. I can point you to a couple of websites that go to the Arabic stations on the web, and they will show you what they did to that man before they finally butchered him. The American news media and NATO And the New World Order does not want you to see what they did to Muammar Gaddafi before they killed him. They did a lot of things to that man. And you've never seen it on American television, and you never will. But it's on the Internet. That's one good thing about the Internet, thank God, that until if they get their way, of course, they will censor it. But until then, you have access to worldwide news that's not controlled by the American media. And you will see what's happening in the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring is a contrived thing to bring about a desired end. And I'll tell you about it in a few minutes. But let's go back here and talk about this for just a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ finishes up the Bible by telling us who He is. And who is He? He's God Almighty. Get that down in your soul. Okay? There is no God outside of Jesus Christ. There is no God. No God exists apart from Jesus Christ. He may manifest Himself in other ways. But as far as God, there is only one. And Isaiah, along with Revelation, said plainly, He is Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. All right, now, if you're going to brainwash people, you're going to feed them false doctrine. You're going to brainwash their mind. And the most important thing for any human being on the face of this earth to understand, the most important thing for anybody to understand, is who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is He? If I go to the United Nations, they'll say, well, He's a great teacher, the founder of religion, you know, blah, 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 blah. All empty, meaningless statements. If I go to the average church member in America, Protestant churches, they'll say, well, He's the Son of God. The problem is, what do you mean by the Son of God? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the name of Jesus? What do you mean by He's your Savior? What do you mean by that? It behooves you tonight to find out. And you say, 50 years ago, it wouldn't have been necessary. It wouldn't have. Because 50 years ago, the universal understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ was as clear as a bell in any church you went to. But not today. Not today. When they name the name of Jesus, most of them aren't even talking about the one you believe in. When they call Him the Son of God, it's not in the same sense that you understand it. All right? Not in the same sense at all. When they say He's my Savior, what they literally mean by that, well, He's my helper. He's one of the ones who show me the way. I depend upon Him for advice and what have you. The only way the church can ever stand is to stand on the rock. And we ever give up that rock that we stand on, folks, we've lost our identity. And if the church loses its identity of standing on the rock, it has no identity. Because that's our sole purpose in existence. The reason we're here is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And when someone walks in this house, they should have no doubt in their mind when they walk out that back door as to who we believe He is. No doubt. They shouldn't have any doubt at all. They shouldn't have any doubt. Yet the church is full of people who believe Jesus Christ is inferior to some God the Father they've imagined in their mind. And they've got this idea of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son is subservient and unequal to God the Father, whatever or whoever He is. That's the average church member. Because they've been brainwashed into believing something that has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible just told you that Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father, didn't it? Yes, it did. And you say, well, it's confusing. It's not confusing unless you try to break it down into natural terms and explain it the way you would explain something naturally. Then you get confused. But the problem is, you cannot take Almighty God and bring Him down to your level and simplify Him to where you can understand Him on your terms. There'll always be a mystical aspect to Him until you see Him as He is. Now, today in Italy, a couple of the congressmen over there, or the elected officials, went to blows. They were fighting. How many of you saw that on the news? One or two. Didn't know that. You know what they're fighting about? They're fighting in Italy because they have to pass some laws that relate to the fact that the money, the euro, is going under, and these nations are going to tighten their belt, and they're going to have to pass it down to the people, and they're going to have to do whatever they can to prop up the euro, and there's only so much money that can be lent to prop up the euro, and they're taking from the richer countries and giving it to the poorer countries so that the euro can be propped up. What's the euro? The euro is a contrived monetary system that was made so that they could pull all the European countries together and put them under one monetary system. That was 20, 25 years ago. Now, here's the problem. Greece is not Italy, and Greece is not Spain, and Spain is not Germany, and Germany is not France, and France is not Great Britain. David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, just in the last two or three days, has had his own party turn against him and tell him, "We want out of the European Union." Now, I'm bringing you up to something with this because I'm showing you how critical things are getting. "We want out of the European Union," they said. And if David Cameron, Prime Minister of Great Britain, 10 Downing Street, is trying to say, "Now, hold on. Now, we can work this out. We can fix this problem." And Angela Merkel, or Merkel, who is the Chancellor of Germany, which is the richest country in Europe. Germany was bombed into the Stone Age in World War II. Where are they now? You know why? Let me give you something that's politically incorrect tonight. The people. Not the system. The people went to work and rebuilt their nation. Do you know how to tell what kind of people you're dealing with? Go look at their nation. Aren't you quiet tonight? That's not what you get fed on TV. Is it? Now, how many of you have ever heard of order out of chaos? The Hegelian dialect. Thesis, antithesis or antithesis, and synthesis. Okay? You got a thesis over here. Then you have an antithesis, which is against it over here. And from that, you create confusion and chaos, and you bring order out of chaos. All right? Do you believe that there is a new world order afoot? That people are really working hard to make this work? Do you believe that NATO went into Libya and they deposed Muammar Gaddafi, not because they care anything about any Arab? They went in there and did that because that's the grand scheme of posing the Arab world against the Western world. There's going to be friction between the two. And when the people are unable to handle it any longer, they'll scream for an answer. What's the answer? A new world order will come out of it. The Arab Spring, have you noticed that in Tunisia, where it started, they've already talked about implementing Sharia law. That in Egypt, where they kicked out this dictator that's been there for so many years, they're going to implement Sharia law. That they're already talking about Sharia law in Libya. They're talking about Sharia law in the rest of these Arab countries. If I were a liberal in this country, I would wake up and I would say to myself, hold on, hold on. If they ever did implement Sharia law in the United States of America, liberalism would die immediately. It would be dead. It would be gone. It would be over. The National Organization for Women would cease to exist. All the liberalism in this country would die overnight. Because Sharia law will take you back under an archaic law that came into existence 600 and something years after Christ, where if you steal a loaf of bread, they cut your hand off, that they hang you from the highest pole if they find you to be a sodomite, that the women will become subservient slaves to their husbands, that the man can have upwards of five or six wives, that the woman is no more than a piece of property, and that Sharia law makes the man the Lord God Almighty of his tribe and his family. And people in the Western world, these liberals, haven't told you apparently about this, but there are organizations in America that are trying to warn people. They're trying their debt level best. I got a thing today where they're trying to warn people, look, they're going to try to bring Sharia law into this country. And if that ever happens, the United States of America will cease to exist. It will become another third world Arab nation. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because it's going to be the conflict of the West and the Arab world again. It'll be back to the Battle of Tours with Charles Martel, the hammerer, when they met there and fought that battle in Europe. And he stopped the onslaught of the Arabs. And the only Arab that was left in Europe was the Moor that was left in Spain for a while, for a few hundred years. And you can go over there and see their architecture now. But that battle stopped it, and they stopped them dead in their tracks, and that's as far as they got. But they tried to overrun Europe. And if they had overrun Europe, they'd have done it exactly what they did to Constantinople, Istanbul, Turkey, Byzantium, same place. What they have done in the Holy Land, where they take all these, notice all these churches from 2,000 years ago where they got mosque built right on top of the church, or a Jewish synagogue or a Jewish site, they've got a mosque on top of it. It's the ultimate supremacy, superiority, victory of Islam over the rest of the world. And that's exactly what they intend to do. So what's going to happen? Well, I guess at the right time when these two conflicts come together, that out of that chaos will come the new world order, and men will scream for somebody to bring peace to the world. And that, of course, will be your new world order. That'll be your Antichrist. Now, here's what just happened. This just happened. They haven't finished with the euro in Europe. They're still hammering this thing out. It may not survive. But the Chancellor of Germany is getting a lot of pressure from Germany. Why? Because the German people have said, look, we have pumped all the money we're going to pump into Greece. We have worked hard for our treasure, and we're not going to pump any more into this European Union to pump up Greece. Greece is going to have to tighten their belt and learn to live with what they've got. All right? Okay. Enter the Pope. You know that one over there in Revelation 17? The Pontiff, the Pope. The Holy Father, enter the Pope. He just said, here's what he said. He said, the world needs a one world monetary system. Okay? He's using the occasion to say that the world needs a one world monetary system. You say, well, that's just the Pope talking. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. The people who pull the strings, who call the shots in this world, are sitting in temples that are called Masonic lodges. They belong to the secret societies that are interconnected. They have enormous power. They have immense power. They're the ones who cause banks to fail or raise them up. You saw billions and billions of your dollars, hard-earned money, bailing out multi-billionaires. You saw that happen. They didn't bail you out, but they bailed them out. Here's what's going to happen. This might have been from the Pope. This might have been him going public with what they all knew. But he went public with it. And by going public with it, it became a code for them all to do whatever they have already planned to do. Because he says we need a one world currency. Now, when a one-world currency comes in play, the United States of America loses its sovereignty. It loses its sovereignty. It's already been losing its sovereignty. There are places in this nation that are United Nations safe zones or United Nations, some kind of a United Nations zone. It's already happening in the United States. These zones are being set up. The people are being prepared to understand that our commanders go overseas, and we have a colonel in the United States Army who's being commanded by a blue-capped UN commander from France or somewhere like that. and he's under command of a foreign troop or a foreign commander. They're getting people ready to understand that the world must have a one-world government. Now listen, if you ever get a one-world currency, you got a one-world government. Because once the currency is in play, once you have a one-world currency, then the whole world is dependent upon each other. Remember what's going on in Europe right now. Think about it. Germany's prospering, but Greece is going under. Ireland just made some changes that's going to affect theirs, and they're going to do much better from it. But these countries, each one of them, are important in this European Union, all right? So that sets the stage for the Pope to come on and call for a one-world currency. Now, you say, well, won't the same thing happen again? No, no, no. Not when a man steps out, according to Revelation 13, and says that he causes, he forces, he makes all to receive a mark in their forehead or in the palm of their hand or on their hand of the Antichrist, or they cannot buy or sell. They cannot have part in currency. In plain words, he becomes a dictator over the economic system of the world. That's where we're headed. That's what's happening. Now, I don't know how close that is. I know that inflation, I don't know how, if you're living in the same world I am, but inflation is already eating up your paycheck. Check it out when you go to the grocery store and see how much you're paying for groceries. Inflation, and here we are in the midst of a horrible recession, and we've got 9-point-something% unemployment, and yet on top of that we have recession. I mean, we have inflation, where your money is losing its value. One of the reasons your money is losing its value is because Bernanke has printed so much fiat currency and flooded the market with it to stimulate the economy, but the more money he floods the market with, the less it's worth. And that's exactly what's happening. How close are we to the coming of the Lord then? I get excited about this stuff. Really? If you want to know the truth about the matter, go ahead, Pope. Get your one world currency. Go ahead, Pope. Because that's a mark right there, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For a one-world currency leads to a one-world government and a one-world dictator, and that's the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist shows up, get ready, you're going up. It's not 10 or 20 years down the road. It's right around the corner. The Lord's coming back. And only the people that are the blindest, the dumbest, that don't want to believe it and don't want to hear it. And the reason they don't is because they got their roots put down in this world. This present evil world. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Watch carefully what happens in this cycle of election coming up. I personally do not believe that it makes that much difference whether a Republican or a Democrat goes into office. I really don't. A few social issues may be involved in it here and there, but as far as the big picture is concerned, I don't believe it makes a bit of difference. I don't believe it makes one bit of difference between a Republican and a Democrat. And I think they've already laid their plan out. I think it's going to happen exactly the way they said it's going to happen. And when the time comes that they feel like they've got the American public brainwashed enough and they've got everything where they want it, then they're going to call it. And when they call it, it's going to happen overnight. It's going to happen overnight. You know how quickly they can devalue your dollar bill to where it's worth nothing? Do you realize that? Do you realize how quickly the word can go out and the next day you try to go to your bank and the door's shut and locked? You try to log on to your bank, your online account, and you can't get on? Do you realize how quickly they can shut that down? Now, let me ask you a question. If they shut down the bank, they shut down your online accounts, you try to use your credit card and it won't accept it. In plain words, your money's worthless, your cards are worthless, you can't get in your bank, you can't get on the banking account online, and therefore you cannot buy and you cannot sell, you cannot do anything, you're stuck dead in the water. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's when they tell you, we have transitioned to a world economy, we have transitioned to a world currency, tomorrow we reopen the doors, or whatever the scenario you want to, however you want to see it, and when we open the doors tomorrow, all of your money is going to be transferred or changed or whatever over into this new currency. And this is what you're going to use from now on to buy and sell. And it's the same value here as it is in Great Britain, as it is in Spain, Portugal, South Africa, wherever you are, this currency is a world currency, and that's it. And there you are. Then they'll be coming out with loudspeakers and say, now it's time to take the mark. And take the mark. Take the mark. We're going to weed out the rebels. Take the mark. Take the mark. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you miss the rapture, let me warn you one more time. Don't take the mark. And the Lord's coming back for His bride. He's not going to purge His bride in the tribulation. He'll do that before the tribulation. He's coming back for His bride. But if you miss going up with the bride, don't take the mark. It's here, folks. It's here. And I'm here, and I'm waiting for Him to come here. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go. Sound crazy, preacher? I'm happy, glory to God. What are you leaving behind? Death and dying and sorrow. And those of you that think this world holds something, you haven't lived long enough in it. And I feel for you that have children. God bless you. Do the best you can with your kids. Make a home for them. Love them. The kids need that. They need the love of the mother and the father. They need the love of the parents. They need a home. And make that and give them a good Christian home, a good Christian environment. Keep them as separated as you possibly can from this evil, wicked world. And shower them with love and teach them about the Lord Jesus and tell them there's a better way. And let your children grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Don't ever trust the government to raise your kids. Don't turn them over to the TV set. Don't turn them over to the school system. Don't turn them over to the public education. Turn them over to the health department. There are good Christian teachers in the public school system. There are good Christian teachers in the colleges and universities. And if you know one, good. And they're doing the best they can to serve the Lord. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've got a good one, then thank God for it. If you've got a good Christian teacher in a public school, thank God for it. Thank the good Lord for it. But you've got to keep this in mind. The whole system one day when the kids go to the school, they're going to see the picture of the Antichrist up there. That's going to become the man. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. And it'll be here before you know it. Father, I pray that you'd use what I've said tonight. God, we can't help but see this, Lord. We look into Europe and see what's happening there and hear what this Pope said. We know it's soon. We know it's soon. It's got to be soon. This is not a joke. He's not playing games. And when He speaks, people listen. And when He says something, He speaks with authority. Now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Savior, come. We look for Thee tonight. In Thy holy name we pray.